Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Welcome back to Caravan of Garbage, where we are currently working our way through three 2020 apocalypse movies that weren't made in the year 2020 but are set in the year 2020.
And have nothing to do with pandemics, so we can all just be like, oh, thank God, the world's blowing up for a different reason, so everything's cool. We can just not focus on that, we can focus on this.
Exactly, everything's A-okay.
What are the odds that the world will also blow up? Pretty slim, but not that slim, you know?
No, that's absolutely it. If you could leave a like, that'd be great, because this week we are doing Edge of Tomorrow, based on the light novel All You Need Is Kill.
And what's a light novel? That's like a young adult novel, I think.
I guess so. I think it's printed on a different, flimsier paper, I believe.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, like a magazine.
Oh my goodness, how did they even acquire it so they could write a script based on it? Probably be blown away in the wind.
No doubt. That's why they're so good. Now, this was never official. This didn't do well. It did okay.
I wondered about that.
Yeah.
Because again, you
we
know,
can talk about the box
it's,
office.
It's got, you know, the great man Tom Cruise, the the you know, box office heavyweight Tom Cruise. I think it's a good script.
Yep.
Looks good.
Looks
but
terrific.
It didn't do well, is what you're saying.
No, so on a budget of $178 million and a fairly comprehensive marketing push, it made $370 million, which is not great.
Is that because it's not a good name?
It's not a good name. I mean, they sort of rebranded it as Live, Die, Repeat for the home release and on some of the posters, but it's never officially been called that.
Which is a better name.
It's a much better name.
That was the tagline, and you instantly get a sense of it. But Edge of Tomorrow, what is that? Is it a coming-of-age movie about some teens?
Yeah.
It's the last day of high school, and what are they going to do after that? Lose their virginities?
Exactly.
See, can't get Tom Cruise for that, can you?
You need a cohesive title that's not ridiculous. Twister makes sense. What's it about? Cows, flying cows.
Huh.
Greenland, what's it about? Jerry Butler, what's he doing? He's the president or he's saving the president? Who knows?
Wow. He could be both.
Yeah. It's comics.
I've got to save my twin brother, the president. Save me, other Jerry Butler.
It's about comets, just so people... I know. But I love Tom Cruise sci-fi film. I love a Minority Report.
You love an Oblivion.
I love an Oblivion. I love 40 minutes of War of the Worlds. I think that 40 minutes in that movie that's really good is really good. Mm. And this one is... It's a terrific premise. Do you want to break down the premise? What do you think the premise was?
Oh, no. Gosh, let me think. Okay, so meteors crashed on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out it's filled with...
Bees.
Weird... Yeah. But alien bees,
yeah,
the worst kind,
mm.
And they're these aliens called mimics. They're pretty good at defeating Earth's military forces and bloody. Then the tide of war has turned, and then humans have some victories. But then they're on the back foot again. But then Tom Cruise, he's a slick PR guy for the military.
He's looking good. He's feeling good.
Got great hair, tremendous hair.
How does he do it?
And then he's sent to war. He doesn't like it, but he's put in there for some reason.
Yeah.
And then...
Because he's supposed to report on the war. Mm. They're like, we want you on the front line. Brendan Gleeson's like, well, I'm from Braveheart, and I think you should be on the front line. And he's like, well, I'm not from Braveheart, so I don't want to go on the front line.
I mean, at best, I was in The Last Samurai, so...
I think I was shot at the end of that. I think I lived because I was The Last Samurai, but...
Anyway, that's not enough to send me on the front lines, but he gets sent to the front lines and he is killed by one of the aliens, but not before he gets some of the alien goop upon him.
Yes.
Which gives him the ability to repeat the day over and over again. Now, I have a question for you, James.
Yes, it's a video game save point.
It is, of course. But in our previous week's video, Reign of Fire, the main character gets dragon goop in their face.
Yes.
And you were very happy that they did not gain any sort of dragon powers.
Yes.
But in this movie, the main character gets alien goop in their face and does gain alien powers. So how do you feel about that?
Look, if you break down the time travel mechanics of it, it doesn't really make a lot of sense.
Doesn't it? I feel it mostly makes sense.
It's mostly the ending where we'll talk about it, the way it resets. But I guess if you don't give him that ability, he's just a man who gets melted on a battlefield. And that's the end of the movie. I mean, sure, I'll watch that. I'll watch it. I'll watch a 20-minute movie.
I bet that's on YouTube as a 10-hour loop of Tom Cruise gets his face melted by aliens.
We could actually determine also roughly how many times he died and came back and how long it took. I've got some stats.
Okay, right.
Sort of. We'll talk about it at the end. But yeah, the premise behind this idea is terrific. And what I like about it also is Tom Cruise is often, not always, but he's a clean-cut, good-at-everything kind of guy. And he eventually becomes that in this movie, but he's this smarmy, slick PR douchebag.
What I liked about this movie is that initially he is put into sort of this Starship Troopers-esque sort of mechanized fighting suit called the Jacket. All the frontline shock troops have it.
Kit Gurry's there!
I know, Australia's own Kit Gurry.
Wait, is it Kit Gurry?
It's Kit Gurry.
That seems wrong.
But what I enjoy
I'll
about
take it
that
up with the Gurry family.
Is that he is put into this suit and he doesn't know how to operate it. So it takes away Tom Cruise's main physical feature that he is incredible at running.
Yes.
So he has to, and initially you're like, no, Tom.
What have they done to you? In the novelization, the light novel, it's one of those things, they're so difficult to use. It's like treading on eggshells. And if you twist the wrong way, it'll just shatter all your bones.
Oh, no.
And you don't really get that sense in this, but it does feel like if you don't know what you're doing in this suit, you're just not going to do well.
Well, I certainly hope then you have some co-workers that are willing to help you get through your initial baby steps with this armor.
They yell at you and tell you you're going to die.
They do, and then he does.
Then he does, yeah. But no, all the wire work in this, because they wore practical suits, and the fact that they made them look light and balletic and all those kind of things is pretty incredible, because it's like an 80-pound suit or something like that, depending on what version you're wearing. So it's pretty incredible how they bring it all together. The stunt work in this, though, there's a lot of practical stuff, and that Normandy-style landing sequence, some of the best stuff in the movie, the flips and spins and the sand kicking up and the aliens spaghettiing around, getting up to trouble.
How do you feel about the aliens, the design?
I actually really like the design. I watched some behind-the-scenes stuff, and what I sort of didn't realize going into it is they're mostly a head and the rest is just tentacles. And that's why they can be like this amorphous and they can kind of take any shape and kind of rubber band across. But I get the sense that you don't like them?
I think initially I enjoyed it. But I think towards the end, the novelty of them wears off. Mm. And again, that is probably partly because Tom Cruise's character has gone through the day so many times that you're just like, oh, here we go again.
Yeah, right.
But I kind of like, I feel like maybe once you get the sense that they're just, you know, face and tentacles, the novelty wears off.
Yeah.
Especially towards the end when he's facing off against a couple and he's lost his powers. I'm like, Tom, just do what you always do. Just do the thing again.
Yeah, just do the thing again, yeah. Emily Blunt's great in this.
Mm-hmm.
She does it all. Mary Poppins, sassy receptionist, got a deaf kid. She does it all. Quiet Place, that's the one. Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
She's great. Apparently she started to do all her stunts in this and then she got pregnant. So when they came back for the reshoots, Tom Cruise was like, why aren't you doing all your stunts? Just do stunts like me. Try and kill yourself like me, Tom Cruise. But she's like, I'm pregnant, Tom Cruise. He was like the third person to find out.
Huh.
Maybe even after John Krasinski. What does that say about their relationship? Who am I to speculate? This isn't Hollywood gossip, Mason.
No.
They're doomed is what I'm saying.
Oh, my God.
I'm sure they're fine. Bill Paxton or Bill Pullman's in it?
Yep.
Which one is it? I did that for you.
It's Paxton.
It is, yeah. Not his last role, but it's kind of one of his last kind of major roles.
Last role with that very specific mustache.
Oh, yeah, very good. Yeah, you a fan?
I love it.
Yeah.
I was going to say, Emily Blunt is great as this kind of, she was the soldier that gained Tom Cruise's powers before him and then them again. And so she becomes sort of this, she's sort of this world-weary soldier who has to constantly retrain him with a lot of bullets to the head.
Yes, that's right.
With no remorse and no mercy.
I also like that, and again, I saw this in the behind the scenes, that blade is fashioned from a helicopter blade. And that's something she just picked up, you know, through her potentially years of training.
Yeah, right, uh-huh.
That she's like, this is easier if I just cut them in half. You know, I'll run out of bullets at any point. I'm just going to wield a giant anime sword instead, which I think works really well.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm surprised she didn't pick that up at, like, the Final Fantasy cosplay store, but yes.
Yeah, sure. What I don't understand about this movie is, if the aliens came to Earth with the ability to time travel,
yes,
how had they not won yet?
Oh.
Because they all know it. Do you know what I mean? It's not like it's just one person. Like, they don't have a Tom Cruise who keeps going back and resetting.
Yes.
Like, their hive mind, like, it branches out to all of them. And they're all thinking the same thing at the same time. So I don't understand how you could potentially lose any battle.
Well, that's a very good question.
Thanks.
I'm not sure if the frontline soldiers know, because they seem to repeat the same things over and over again. I think maybe the time resetting mechanism is just a... It's like a survival mechanism, and it only operates when the Omega feels it's in real danger, which is when the Alphas are killed, I think.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. Sure. All right,
also,
fine.
Maybe it's just a little bit forgetful.
Maybe it is, yeah.
Maybe this one's been sent out to destroy Earth because they don't trust it, you know, at work on the home planet. You know what they mean?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. What I also like about the implication of one of the scenes in this movie, Tom Cruise rolls under a truck and is crushed, and Bill Pullman...
Paxton, you will not get me.
And Bill Paxton is like, oh my God, look at this idiot. What has he done? Implying that the universe continues
after he's died every
which
time.
Which means that every time Emily Blunt shoots him in the head. Which
she's immediately arrested by the military police, I guess.
That being said, there's also the theory that maybe he wasn't quite dead yet.
I think that's probably it.
So we're just going to go with that.
I think if you assume that every time he died, that reality continues. First of all, it's sad for everybody in that universe because their world was destroyed by aliens.
Sure.
And also, it doesn't bear thinking about. It's too sad.
No, it really doesn't. Yeah.
Think of all those military funerals for dead Tom Cruise. You know,
they wouldn't give him a military funeral.
No, that's true. They just kick him into a ditch.
I feel like the finale. It's good when they're getting to the Louvre. They've got that awesome drop ship. It's all happening. But I feel like it gets a little dark when they get underground and underwater. It's a little difficult
just,
to kind of see what's going
on. Just physically dark. I thought so also, yeah.
I mean, it all still looks very good. It's a mostly CGI environment with CGI creatures, you know, running about. But it mostly looks good. But what I was pointing to earlier was the reset that he gets at the very end is 3 days prior or whatever it is before he gets arrested. Mm. And all the aliens are dead?
Yeah, I didn't understand that either.
That's what I'm talking about specifically. Like, why does that work? I know it's also because that means all his friends are alive. And now we can go kiss Emily Blunt, and that's cool.
That is very cool.
And that's another theory of mine, that Tom Cruise movies where he kisses a woman don't do well. The Mummy, this, that one with Cameron Diaz.
Do you think word gets around? Do you think initial reports on the kiss are not good?
Well, a lot of the movies...
Because there's just the one. Here's the thing.
I know.
But I think, and it's interesting because the evolution of that... relationship isn't necessarily a romantic one, or maybe it is.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got two choices. Oh, this piece of mother. Or sales. I definitely prefer. Don't you? Because that's a sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that's supercharging your selling wherever you sell, online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. For example, Ruggable, NYX, Magnolia, Cotton, and so many more. Now you're probably thinking, sure, but migrating is going to be a headache. The Shopify App Store has the migration apps that you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every e-commerce platform to Shopify. And maybe you're one of those people who are like, hey, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in this box, either metaphorically or for real. Thankfully, Shopify never will, because with Shopify, you can control your brand and business from your storefront look to your back office operations. You know what's really annoying when you're checking out from an online store and you have to put in all your payment details and all sorts of numbers and letters and whatnot? Well, with the Shopify store, they actually remember my shipping address or your shipping address if you were using yours, plus the payment information. So say if I'm on the couch and my wallet is in the kitchen, I didn't even have to get up, which is my favorite thing. Stop leaving sales on the table, switch your business to Shopify and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. So sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Cha-ching sound effect.
There's a moment in the movie where they all go to a, the two remaining living characters, yeah. Emily Blunt and Tom Cruise, go to sort of a farmhouse, and Tom Cruise is trying to delay the remainder of their trip because he knows Emily Blunt gets killed as soon as she leaves the farmhouse, and she figures out that he is trying to delay her, and because they've done this dance many times before, it's maybe sort of implied they had a romantic maybe a liaison there, and they tried to make a little life together.
Sure.
Look, as long as you don't step 20 feet to the right, you'll live.
We can live here for 40 years.
But yeah, so it's not a romantic relationship in the strictest terms, especially towards the end.
Yeah.
There is one kiss, but it's kind of like, world's going to end, we may as well try it.
Well, apparently it was Emily Blunt improv that on set. There wasn't supposed to be a kiss.
Oh, maybe there is trouble in paradise for her and Krasinski.
Maybe there is. The thing is,
I'd rather be kissed to death by Tom Cruise. Thank you.
The thing is about Tom Cruise, I think a lot of people, they buy him as an action star despite being mid-50s, you know. He's getting up there, and they buy him as this incredibly charming, handsome man who's seemingly ageless and indestructible. But the idea that because of all the weird Scientology stuff that has happened, that you can buy him as a viable romantic lead is kind of died off.
Mm.
Because a lot of his movies, and you look at the Mission Impossible films, for example, the relationships for him become, I'm too in love with America to have a relationship with you right now. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Look, I would be in a relationship with you, but I have another wife. You wouldn't know her. She's under an assumed identity in another city. Sorry. Probably Canada. I don't know.
I don't know. It's neither here nor
there. She's a model
there.
Too. I don't, but I can't. You can't see or meet her. Sorry.
I don't know. It's not a real theory. It doesn't mean anything, but it's interesting that Tom Cruise did kind of transition from this Jerry Maguire-esque heartthrob into this action star, you know? But he's also done it fairly seamlessly. It's not like, you know, Nick Cage where he just does action schlock for the most part. You know, it's, I don't know, I just find it interesting. Anyway, do you want some stats on how many times he potentially died and for how long for?
Yes, please. And can we compare and contrast to Phil Connors in Groundhog Day?
I actually have those stats also.
Very good. Because, you know, I mean, it's tough to say. Phil Connors may have spent you know, years and years in that reality, but he didn't fight off an alien invasion. Or did he?
Did he?
It's tough to say. We don't know. Maybe there's a deleted scene.
So he dies 24 times on screen.
Right.
In the book, it's 160 days in total. That, to me, though, doesn't seem enough that you'd be able to memorize everything, including coffee orders and where aliens are coming in through
roofs.
No,
it seems to me he's been doing this for years and years. What I liked about is that it's just right on the cusp of being exhausting for the viewer.
Yes.
But it was very well edited in the sense
that... It feels
that
tight, right?
It does feel tight in the sense that they cut out... You know, obviously he has to repeat. He wakes up and then he's sent to the barracks and all that sort of stuff. But they seem to have cut out just the right things that you go... Oh, I get it. Same things happened. Let's move on.
I know where he is. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. He also mentions in the movie that he's lost count of how many times this has happened.
Okay, so more than 10.
More than 10.
Because that's the number of fingers you have.
That's right.
Toes as well, 20. So it's more than 20 times.
Tom Cruise has one big webbed foot on one foot as well.
Oh, my goodness.
It's his greatest secret.
So that's 10, 5.
1.
16. Okay, yeah, 16 digits. All right. So it's more than 16 times. All
yes.
Right.
To jump over to Groundhog Day, apparently this is people have done the actual stats on this, and based on there being 10,000 hours to master a task, which includes ice sculpting, piano, memorizing ice cream flavors to trick Andy McDowell.
Romance,
exactly. That's 12,403 days.
Okay.
Though also the people behind those movies have said it could be in the tens of thousands and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, if you look at that in terms of 10,000 hours to master a task, with that kind of finesse in combat, he mentions that he's lost count of how many times he's seen her die. He's memorizing information about people, precise movements of aliens and vehicles and ships and gun blasts and explosions. We don't know. He could have done it for a million
years. Good answer.
He could have done it for a million years.
Wow.
It could have been 6 months. Yeah.
Yep.
I get the sense that it's...
Could have had a real lucky week.
Yeah.
You don't know.
I get the sense that it's hundreds of years, maybe. But look, I did a lot of research on this, you know, different ideas of what people have. Nobody definitively knows. And I'm sure the director will come out at some point and just go, I don't know, 4 years or whatever, you know. Right. But at the moment...
And then people will be like, this is an outrage. Certainly he doesn't know what he's talking about because I've done the numbers in it.
Yeah.
Certainly more than that. It's almost like he said something arbitrarily to get people to stop asking him things.
Yeah, that's right.
Crazy.
Yeah.
But it's not going to work because people will be like, hey, remember last time people asked you, you said 4 years. Well, we've done some numbers. Maybe is it 1,000 years? And he'd be like, yes, that's what I meant to say.
Yeah, you misheard me.
Yeah, that's right.
But if people do have an idea, I genuinely love to know.
Put a random number in the comments.
Yeah.
That's how many years he trained for this.
And if other people could comment yes or no whether that's true, that'd
Perfect.
Be very helpful.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe like this video, the number of years you think.
Yes.
That he was in it.
Which is one, right?
Yeah, 1 year.
Yeah, good. Yep. It's trivia time. Hot, hot, hot trivia. Hot trivia takes. Our segment.
Yeah, I love hot trivia takes.
Good.
Sorry, hot, hot, hot
Thank
trivia
you.
Takes.
So Jeremy Piven's character was added during reshoots. But
wow, that's hot.
I know, but ended up on the cutting room floor.
You say Jeremy Piven's character like...
Ari Gold?
Yeah, his one character.
Yes.
Or do you mean his character when he was one of Ellen's friends on the sitcom Ellen?
Yes, that's who I meant, yes. Yeah.
Well.
I think if you add a Jeremy Piven, Ari Gold type, the lead of this movie already is that.
Yeah.
But maybe they swap roles and he's even more of a PR guy than Tom Cruise.
Oh, he's the replacement PR guy while Tom Cruise is off to war. Okay.
That would make
sense.
And
then he gets his comeuppance and he ends up in the battle.
And he dies.
Yeah, and he dies.
He's killed.
He dies. They pull his plugs out.
Yeah. Not to get political, because I know people hate it when we get political. But
hot takes.
But the implication is that Hillary Clinton is president in this universe.
I saw that very briefly. So hot.
Too political. Too hot. Tom Cruise spent over $100,000 on a lavish wrap party for the cast and crew. He did not attend himself as he was finishing his scenes for the movie. But everybody who was working on the movie was at the party. I'd imagine him out the back in front of a green screen just doing karate kicks.
Right, yep. He's just doing drills, exactly.
So there you go.
That's pretty great. Also, if you were that catering company, you'd probably just be like, he's not coming, so we can supply anything. We're just surprised.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Cage is also younger in the book.
Uh-huh,
yep. Which makes sense because most of the Tom Cruise roles, he's supposed to be like 35.
Yeah, right.
But he is as short as Tom Cruise.
Oh.
Fun fact. Because often the characters, you know, like your Jack Reachers, who's supposed to be 8 foot tall and he's got an American pie in one hand and he's strangling a murderer in the other. You know what he's up to? Yeah. Sorry. A terrorist in the other.
Mm.
Yeah. Also, Tom Cruise.
I love that American pie is a concept. It's a pie filled with flags.
No, he's got the stack of DVDs.
Oh, he's carrying the DVDs.
Even the ones that didn't go to cinemas.
Oh, my God. American Pie, The Magic Mile, or whatever it's called.
Yeah, that's right. And the last bit of trivia is Tom Cruise said that he made the film for the audience. How does he do it?
I don't know, but he has done it, hasn't he?
Yes.
Oh, now that's an American Pie I can get behind.
Absolutely. So there has been talk of a sequel to this because it was very well received and it did better on your streamings and your DVD releases. But that's kind of in limbo at this moment.
Yeah, it's in a constant state of, we've got a great idea, it's going to be a sequel and a prequel and it's going to blow everybody's mind, it's going to redefine sequels.
Yeah.
And when's it coming out? We don't know.
Never.
Yeah, never.
We're not making it.
It's too dangerous. It would actually cause people to end up in a time loop, so we can't do it.
Look, I'd love to see it, but it would kind of be insane if they did make it.
Yeah.
It wouldn't really make sense. It would make sense more of as you put $200 million and then Netflix buy it for some reason.
I was going to say, yeah. If anything...
Like that horrible Michael Bay movie.
Yeah, I mean, also it is a case of, okay, you're going to bring back, you know, are you going to bring back Emily Blunt and Tom Cruise? They're kind of busy most of the time.
Yeah,
like,
right.
How do you get those schedules?
They're in a relationship.
Oh my God, it's just hot stuff.
Don't tell Krasinski some bad news, am I right? He'd make that video.
Spicy. Yeah, if anything, I think maybe it would end up on Netflix as a Netflix original, but those two aren't in it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a...
Yeah. Like that Minority Report sequel series.
Or like American Pie, no original cast members.
Except for the dad,
mm-hmm.
Who's great, by the way, Eugene Levy. You seen Schitt's Creek?
Yeah, it's
incredible stuff. Anyways, next week we'll be back for our final in our 2020 apocalypse trilogy. But let me ask you this, Mason.
Okay, I'm ready.
First of all, is it Bill Pullman or Big Paxton?
It's Big Paxton. That's what I call him, Big Papa Paxton. R.I.P.
R.I.P. Yeah, great man. He's incredible. But next week, how do you feel about cancelling the apocalypse?
Oh, I get it.
Yeah.
I'd be in favour of that.
That's right. We're looking at the movie Click from 2006 with Adam Sandler. No.
Cancel that apocalypse. Bloody rewind on the apocalypse.
Very
right?
True.
He's got that magic remote control.
That's right. No, we're doing Pacific Rim, which I'm really looking forward to going back to because I haven't seen it since cinemas. And I'm one of the three people who quite like the sequel. Even though I know it's not as good, but
that's some wild stuff. Now here's a question for you: of the two movies we've seen so far, which apocalypse scenario would you rather be living through?
Ooh, I like dragons. The people pointed out technically they're not dragons because dragons walk on all fours, and these are
they wyverns?
Yeah, something
they're
like
wyverns.
That. Yeah, they're wyverns. But here's the thing.
Yes.
Shut the fuck up. No. I mean, that's my thing. But if they call them dragons in the movie, then that's what they are in this universe.
Yeah, that's right.
Because it's a different universe.
Imagine being that guy. You all of London has fallen. It's just a smoky hellhole. And there's just one guy going, I think you'll find they're actually wyverns. Because their arms structurally are the same as the wings. They're in the same. Oh, I'm dead now.
Who wants to be like, look out for the wyverns?
Right.
Fuck out of here with that.
Yeah, that's right.
Sorry, but you were saying, which apocalypse do I want to be in?
Yeah.
Well, this one, the world is still intact.
I was going to say.
I can still go for a pint.
You can absolutely still go for a pint.
I can go to Charing Cross.
For a pint at the pub, exactly.
I can go to, Clapham Junction.
You can go to the Chippy.
That's right.
And get a deep fried kebab.
I can get some cheeky Nando's afterwards.
Yeah, that's right. And also, at the end of this, world's pretty much fine.
Yep.
I mean, except for a lot of Europe. But we don't live there, so definitely Edge of Tomorrowverse.
That's it, exactly. Anyways, if you could subscribe, that'd be great. We also have a website called bigsandwich.co where you can actually go and see all of these videos early and get the extended audio version early additionally.
You're not wrong.
I'm not wrong.
You're very correct.
So, yes, and there's a bunch of early stuff. There's an ad-free feed for our podcast, The Weekly Planet.
And a bonus podcast.
And a bonus podcast, which we'll hardly spoil here. No snitches.
That's right.
Yeah. Anyways, I've been Mr. Sunday Movies and on all platforms.
And I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter.
That's right. We'll see you next week for Click.
So we're definitely doing Click.
Yeah.
The worst apocalypse of them all. Anyway, grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you next week.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.